Good afternoon. It's been a little bit since I've been here. Thankful for the opportunity. I talked to Brother Casey a little while back and got an appointment. And you know, I preached here a few times, and thankful I've seen the crowd, and thankful for my home church being here to support me. I love them, and they mean a lot to me. But you guys do too, because I've been around you my whole life. I don't know a better group of people than to be around you all, and I'm thankful for that, and I love you guys for that. But to go ahead and get started, y'all know everything pretty much about me. I don't have to introduce or anything like that. The Lord's laid something on my heart this evening, and it's here. We're here to worship Him. That's what it's about. It's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with what the Lord's present, what He wants to present, and the way He wants me to present it. And I pray to God that I can do it the right way, that would glorify Him, because that's what we're here for—to glorify His holy name. And if you would, I want y'all to turn to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. These verses that you've heard many times before, and been preached on lots of times. But this ain't nothing new, and the Lord's laid this on my heart. And so, in chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And with that reading, I want you all to, with my thought that the Lord's given me, I want us to think about that scripture for a minute. I'm going to try to, we've heard it many, many times before, but this kind of was revealed to me just a little bit. We understand that the devil was trying to tempt Jesus into sinning. It's a complete understanding of that, and we know that's what understand that's what he was trying to do. But let's take this just a little bit further than just that. In Matthew, in that third verse, the tempter, we know that who the tempter is. It's Satan. And temptation comes from Satan. The Lord does not tempt us. And we know that it comes from Him. And we also know what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get Jesus to admit and fall and just give it all over. Just try to turn it all over to Him as if Jesus is going to just do that willingly and it fail and fail all of us. That is not the case. Jesus resisted temptation from the devil. And my point tonight, before I get too far ahead of myself, before my thought that the Lord's laid on my heart is, in the midst of the devil's strategy, turn to Jesus. The devil has many strategies that he's using. He's using a strategy right now to con Jesus into sinning. He's trying all that he can to get Jesus to fall and admit all these things. And if we look at that third verse, it says the tempter came to him, and he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be of bread. Jesus had just went 40 nights and 40 days without eating. And if you've ever fasted before, just not eating at all, any period, but if we've had a medical, something medical that we had to do and we couldn't eat for just 24 hours or 12 hours or 8 hours, sometimes it's about 12 hours. When those 12 hours are up, we're starving, aren't we? We're usually wanting to eat anything and everything. And Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights without eating. Can you, so to get a mental picture of what is going on, Jesus is, his physical body is starving. He is probably pretty hungry. And so the devil says, why don't you turn these stones into bread? What does Jesus do? What does he say? He says, but he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out, proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our physical bread that we eat fills our bellies, but Jesus is that spiritual bread that we have to consume and make sure that we are consuming that spiritual bread that only he can provide. That's what the main goal here is to have, we need that nourishment from him, and we can't take it from anywhere else. And Jesus alone can turn those stones into bread if he wanted to. What was the devil trying to do? Use his sly little ways to get Jesus to try to show his power and what he could do. Jesus sought over that. He saw that. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that because Satan knew his power. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart that Satan knew what he could do. He was just seeing if he would do it in front of whoever else was watching to see if he could con Jesus into doing that. And so if we keep on going down after that, it says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of a temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What is the devil trying to do there? He's taking Jesus up to this mountain, and it's sitting over the holy city, and this temple is sitting on top, and it's not really described well in Scripture about how tall this mountain was, but I imagine this mountain was tall enough where he could see everything that he needed to see. And you know, if we took a height in an example, the ceiling, I guess it's around, 15 feet or so, maybe 20 feet. I would be scared to jump from 20 feet down to the ground. It was much higher than that. So Jesus, the devil was trying to tempt Jesus into jumping down, leaping off this cliff or mountain, off no telling how many feet. I looked it up, and some say it was 450 feet. If you measure the elevation of this, where it was above sea level and all this, it was just plain high, too high. And so the devil said, if you can, I want you to leap off this mountain. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He said, saith unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt thy Lord God. We are to live our life to the best of our ability and serve Christ, but we are not to tempt him in any way. And the devil was trying to tempt Jesus to get him to do this. And the devil rebuked him, said, no, I'm not. And so if we think about those things for just a moment, those two things that Satan was trying to do, well, let's think of another instance where Satan used a crowd to mock. They were mocking Jesus as he was on his way to the cross. And what had happened to that, to the crowd shouted out in Matthew 27, before I don't want to get too far ahead of myself again, but in Matthew 27, in the 27, verse 40. It says, and saying thou that thou destroyest the temple, and building it is in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. as the crowd was mocking Jesus and making fun and smirking at him and saying whatever they were saying to him, out of the crowd it says, if you can destroy the temple in 3 days and save thyself. He said, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Jesus could have come down off that cross if he had wanted to. But he did it and stayed up there for me and you. For our sins, the things that we committed against him, he stayed up there because he had to. He could have come down at any point. And he could have had legions of angels come and take him off and take care of him. But he chose to stay up there because he was the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And the crowd that he was hearing this from, that was Satan. That was Satan mocking him, saying, if you are this powerful and you can destroy a temple in 3 days, why don't you save yourself? And Jesus still hung up there for us. He still hung on that cross. I'm thankful that he did, because if he had not, we would not have no hope today. We owe everything to Jesus this morning. If you're here and you're lost, you need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn to Jesus. And if you're living a life that you need, maybe there's something going on in your life, you need to change. Jesus is the answer, isn't he? He is. We got to turn back to Jesus. Our country, our society as a whole, we need to turn back to Jesus. We have the devil that's out there, and he is trying to tempt us. And it's very tempting. This world is beautiful, certain things that we do. But that's how the Satan works. He makes it look appealing to us. And what do? We find ourselves following away from Jesus because we want to be doing something else. As young people in the church, I'm thankful to see the young people that are here. I'm thankful that you chose tonight to be here in church. And I pray that you stay on that course. I pray for that. Our young people need to hear about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. We live in a society that doesn't want to talk about it nor say anything about Jesus. It just wants to want his blessings and nothing else. I'm sorry, he wants us here on Sunday mornings. He wants us here on Sunday nights. I've lived my life alone for 40 years. Can you believe that? I don't even feel like it should be 40 years that I've been on this earth. And I've been in and out of church multiple times in my life and done what Kyle thought he was wanted to do. And it was not the case and not the way the Lord was leading. And I finally told my calling in 2015, after he'd called me in 2010, I skipped 5 years without doing that. I lost a lot of influence on my friends and people that I love so much. And I take that. I wish that had not happened. But that's how Satan works. He wants us out in the world. He doesn't want us to be a part of the Lord and the Lord's work. And so he's going to tempt us to do those things. If he tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt us. We got to know that we are not immune to Satan's temptations. We also have to know that we have to deal with sin. If we have sin in our life, we need to get rid of it the best that we can. Repent and ask God to forgive us. But to get an understanding of this, are we in the midst of the devil's strategy? Are we turning to Jesus? I want us to think about that tonight. In the midst of the devil's strategy, he has a strategy, doesn't he? We see that marriage, he's destroyed marriage. He has completely destroyed marriage. A marriage is between a man and a woman, and only between a man and a woman. We have people in a church, and outside that, if I'd said that, they wouldn't agree with that. But I'm telling you right now, the Word of God says one man and one woman is to be married. That's the truth. You all have heard that for years. We can butt up against it all we want to. We have family members and probably friends that we know that are doing these things, and we want to witness to them and tell them that Jesus still loves you. He does, and he still died for them on the cross. But those ways are not right. And so he's taken the family unit. The devil has taken the family unit and completely destroyed it. If y'all haven't noticed, I have a new addition to my family. I have a young son. He just turned 16 months old. And some of these younger ones, I don't know how old most of them are, but I pray for those young ones. I don't know what the world's going to be like if the Lord allows time to keep going. I pray that He does and gives His grace and mercy as long as He can. That way those ones that are lost can get saved before it is ever too late. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate thing that we should be striving for as Christians. The devil is on us bad, didn't he? He is. We can't fight him alone. We cannot fight him alone. We can't do it. We need his help every day. Y'all bear with me. There hath no temptation taken you, but... I'm sorry. In chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. We are tempted, but he gives us a way out, doesn't he? If he had not died on the cross, we wouldn't have a way out, would we? If he had listened to Satan's temptation and did everything Satan wanted him to do, we wouldn't have that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So thankful for that hope. We find in the scripture in Matthew that I read, that wrestling, what does wrestling mean? Resting, I'm sorry, with a W. Resting, R-E-S-T-I-N-G, resting. What does that mean? In Webster's dictionary, it says pulling with a twist, distorting, or perverting. And I want to get into that just for a second out of Matthew, what I've just read. And just kind of, we all know what that means. But what does that mean for us? What is Satan doing in that sixth verse of Matthew, for the fourth chapter in the sixth verse? He says, and saith unto him, thou beest the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands, they shall bear thee up. In that chapter, he is distorting, the devil is distorting God's word and trying to manipulate and twist it to get Jesus to comply to the temptation. Are we not? Do we not understand that's what's going on in our society today with God's word? That ministers are standing behind the pulpit and turning and twisting the scriptures to fit their style, to grow their church and allow to tickle people their congregation's ears? I'm sorry, but Jesus Christ is here to save, and that conviction has to be there. And if it's not there, and we're tickling people's ears and they're not feeling guilty for what they've done, then it's not true. It's not true. Because the Lord, His words just alone will draw conviction. And so that's what Satan was trying to do. We see that manipulation in our society. We see it in how we have to be very careful and diligent when we're reading the scriptures not to turn and twist it to make it be something that it shouldn't be. And so that's just a common thing that we have to be careful for, and how the devil, how he can just slip right in there. I've been to many churches in the last, since I've told my call to preach, that were right down line to the T, you thought they believed the exact same thing we did, and then when it come down to salvation, they took a hard left. That's not a hard left you want to take. Salvation should be, you know what salvation is repentance and faith through God, and Jesus alone is the only one that can give it to you. You have to be a contract spirit, broken heart, have to come to Him. And after you've been saved, then be baptized and take the Lord's Supper. Those are our ordinances that we have and we're commanded to do. But after baptism, we are a member of His church. Baptism doesn't save. Accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I've heard that over and over. That does not save you. We have to explain to people And I have people being deceived every day that it hurts my heart to know that somebody's soul has been deceived. And I so desperately want to be able to tell them in a way that's a loving way that that's not right. I know that we'll get ridiculed for that, but Jesus got ridiculed on the way to the cross, so we've got to be willing to stand up for what's right. And salvation is something that never should be wavered on. Never. And so, in 2 Corinthians, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul was just telling the Corinthian church, we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices and what he can use and what he can do against us and how powerful he actually is. Just warning the church about that. I'm warning you all, and you all know this, that there are as many devices that Satan can use to draw us away from Jesus. I can go into the whole list of them, but I'm not going to do that. That's not where the Lord's leading me tonight. I'm about done, but this is what the Lord, kind of how the Lord's leading, and I want to glorify Him. That's where our main focus is tonight. It's not about me. The fourth chapter of James. What is being told here? That if we submit ourselves, fourth chapter in the seventh verse, it says, if we submit ourselves before God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. How many times have we done that? We've been tempted to do something, and then we resisted, and then the next day or the next hour, that burden, you kind of feel a relief, don't you? When you've resisted that temptation, the Lord kind of blesses you, don't he? At least I feel like he does me when I'm being tempted in a certain way and I try to go a different way and I go the way he wants me to. He blesses us for that, right? It says if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. If we cleanse our hands, ye sinner, and purify our hearts, ye double-minded. That's what he's telling James. That's in that in Scripture is saying that we can resist the devil. We can. We can resist temptation. A lot of tempting things out there in the world. We've got to be able to resist them. Stay on that course. I want us to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was perfect in every way. He was the prime example of the ultimate sacrifice and without him we wouldn't have any hope. As I've said tonight already, but that's the most important thing. The prime example of how not when we're tempted to prime example to follow. We know that Eve was tempted in the garden and how Satan used the forbidden fruit to get her to take a bite and telling her it was all good. And you know the difference between good and evil. He said that. That's how slick he is. You're going to be as gods. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Well, okay. You know, what fruit is it? You know, that's our mindset as human society. That's how slick and sly that Satan is and what he'll do to anything to try to get us to do something else than what Jesus wants, what he's told us, right? That fruit probably looked really good to Eve. And God, what is it that our human nature, when you tell us not to do something, we automatically want to do it, don't we? That's just human nature. And God had told Adam, and Eve just took a bite of that fruit and gave it to Adam and the fall of man. You know what? Did Satan win that battle? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Because God knew that that was going to happen, and he sent his only begotten Son to die on that cross for us and give us that hope. He did. He knew that was happening. He gave us a solution to the problem, didn't he? He gave us a solution. Tonight, if you're going through something in your life, he's given you a solution. You know what that solution is? Turn to Jesus. That's the solution that we need to follow. Not man's solution to everything that we think we should do or what we should or shouldn't do. Jesus is the way. He is. He told Peter in the fifth chapter, in the fifth chapter of Peter. I'm still getting a little ahead, and I'm almost done. Fifth chapter 8 through 10. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions and accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Jesus has promised he's his second coming. We know that he will be here. We don't know the time or the hour or the when that might be, but we know for a fact that he is coming back. Are we ready, church? Do we have loved ones we want to tell them about Jesus and how he loves them and how we need to focus on Jesus instead of worldly possessions and things that we can get here, because we can't take them with us when we die. We can't do it. We can't cram all those things in that coffin. I don't want to cram all those things in my coffin. To know that the Lord has saved my soul is plenty, and that's enough. And Jesus grants that, doesn't he? Once we've repented of our sins and asked for forgiveness, he gives us that sweet peace in our heart that passes all understanding. It feels good to be a child of God tonight. It feels good to be a child of God when we're out in this old world fighting demons that the devil keeps throwing at us. If the Lord allows time to go, I pray for my son's salvation when that time comes. And these ones that I don't know, if you've got ones in here that are church, I know that are probably lost, young ones that are fixing to come to the age of accountability, I'm praying for them. We've got ones in our church that are lost, and so we've got lost in all churches probably somewhere, and we still need Jesus. We still need him there. We don't need a watered down truth. We need Jesus to tell us and tell us how it is, and keep it straight like he's always done, and hold steadfast to the word of God. In Revelations, now I'm finished with this. This is my last. This is what it says, that we are to therefore rejoice. You know, Satan knows that he's on borrowed time. And this scripture tells us, it says, and therefore rejoice, ye heaven, that and ye that dwelleth in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is to come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil has a short time, and he knows his time is coming to an end. And we know Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to split that eastern sky wide open. We know that because scriptures tell us that, and Jesus has put that in our heart. We know it. We know it. We feel it coming. We don't know when, but we feel it coming. I know we all do. I feel it coming. I don't know when. I may be another 10, 15, 20 years, maybe tomorrow. We don't know that. It's not important. The important thing is that we are saved before that even happens. That we've met his conditions and got right before it's too late. Because once he splits that eastern sky, it's done. It's over. All these ones looking for earthly things to happen, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that eastern sky, that trumpet, that horn that's going to be blowing. We're going to hear it. The saints of God are going to go up. We're going to join Jesus. We're going to join him. We're going to go home. We're going home. And so that's what we got to look forward to. If you're here and you're lost, I want you to have that to look forward to. You're not supposed to go to hell. The hell is made for Satan and his angels. If you're here and your life is a shambles and things are not going the way that you think they should, maybe we need to turn to God. Maybe we need to turn something over. Many times in my life I've had to turn it over to him. Take it away from me. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I'm done now, but I'm thankful what the Lord has placed, where He's placed me in my life, and we have a job to do as ministers. I'm thankful that I still see Brother Don Curtis and Brother Moran and Ralph, Brother Davison and Jay and Brother Reed. Thankful for you. You all have set the pathway for us younger ones, younger preachers. And Casey, I don't want to leave you out, brother. We've got work to do. I don't know what's going to happen or what we're going to have to face tomorrow, but I know that I need to turn to Jesus, whatever the case may be, and whatever happens. I love you all, and God bless you guys. I'm praying for this church. I'm thankful for this brother. I'm thankful for all my preacher and brother, but I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ that know salvation, that know that heartfelt salvation that only Jesus can give you and no one else. Don't be tempted by an easy believism type way out. Read your Bibles. Even if you need help, there's plenty of preaching brother here that will help you. I guarantee that. I'm thankful for this man right here because he's very knowledgeable in Scripture and he helps me. Brother Moran, you've preached to me my whole life, off and on, and I'm thankful for you, brother, and what you stand for. Thank you, guys. God bless you.